Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. What you are about to hear was originally recorded in 2010 as research for my book, Public Speaking Superpowers. After going through all this content, I've decided to release these 80-plus recordings as a bi-weekly podcast. I hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. Today, I'm speaking with Joe M. Turner. Joe is a professional magician, speaker, and MC. As a corporate entertainment specialist, he creates customized corporate magic presentations throughout the United States and Canada. He adapts his performances to emphasize either marketing or inspirational messages and is known as a chief impossibility officer. Joe has been featured on numerous television and radio shows, including Good Morning America, Nightline, and a highly rated feature on CNN Headline News, as well as in many print publications. Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers, Joe.
Hi, thanks, Karma.
You are very welcome. Just so listeners can get a feel for your unique expertise, could you tell us a little about your journey to success in public speaking?
Well, I started public speaking professionally about 10 years ago. I had worked in the corporate world as a trainer and instructional design and management consultant. And before that, I had studied to be both a teacher and an actor. So I've frequently found myself in front of groups of people in professional settings, sometimes with a business perspective, sometimes with an artistic perspective. So the transition into a professional public speaking career wasn't quite as off the wall as it might seem for many.
Given your experience, would you say that public speaking is a learned skill or something you're just born with a knack for? And why have you come to that conclusion?
That is such an interesting question. And it's got, in the arts, we talk about whether singers are born or made or whether composers are born or made. And public speaking, it is a certain kind of performance art. And so the question, it's related to that. And I think that the answer is anyone can learn to be really good. I think you may have to be born with something else to be great. But I think it is a learned skill. It is something that you can learn to do effectively. You can learn principles. You can practice. You can rehearse. You can always improve and be better than you are currently at a skill like public speaking. But in order to be one of the truly great ones, I think there's another spark that comes from somewhere else. I don't know that you can practice that.
Yeah, you know, I have to admit that that's always been kind of my feeling, and that seems to be the consensus so far, that it's definitely a learned skill, but there's always going to be those people who just have a knack better than others, comes
right.
More naturally.
Well, in magic, a lot of things are knacky. There are very esoteric little moves and tricky little things that you learn to do with your hands or with your eyes that certain people just glom onto faster than others. And that's fine, because those that don't pick up on one thing as fast, maybe pick up on something else as fast. And I know it sounds like I'm just hedging my answer to this question incredibly, but I'm not, because I honestly believe it. I play the piano as well, and I believe there's such a thing as a gift and people who are gifted at certain things, but that shouldn't let those who are pursuing excellence in an art, including public speaking, it shouldn't let them be dissuaded or discouraged, because everyone has room to improve. Even the gifted are always seeking to improve. So the question maybe isn't what's at the top level that's available, but what's going to help you push past your personal record so far? And applying that to public speaking is exciting. There's always a way for me to improve and a way that I think other people can take heart and say, I can improve as a public speaker.
I totally agree with you. So now, given that you have magic abilities because you're a magician, right? I think that calling you a public speaking superhero is probably fairly accurate.
Yeah, that's what a fun analogy.
So given that you are a public speaking superhero, we'll just say you are, what do you believe are your main superpowers?
I think that what differentiates me as a speaker, besides the magic is a vehicle. The illusions are a vehicle to help communicate something to the audience that I find is important. What differentiates me is I think I have a knack, a superpower, for finding that connection between a message and some kind of visual representation of that, some example or visual metaphor for a message so that people can hold on to it and remember it. And so my superpower is representing ideas in visual ways. I use a lot of magic and illusions because that's an interesting skill, and magic by definition is something unusual, and we remember things that are unusual in our lives, those moments that break through the background noise. And so magic gives me a leg up on doing that, but the superpower is not the magic trick. I think the superpower is finding the right magic trick or the right visual hook to give an audience so that they can hang that message on there and recall it effectively later.
Right. That totally makes sense that, you know, magic is just the tool that you happen to use. Someone else might use some other tool for their metaphor.
I've seen wonderful presentations with painting and drawing. Some people use audio tools and storytelling very effectively. So there's a variety of tools that people use. Mine happens to be an interesting performance art that I've applied to the task.
Given that, using whatever, I guess, your particular talent is in order to create metaphors that an audience can understand, what advice would you give someone if they wanted to develop that particular superpower or skill as well?
The advice I would give someone is create as broad a spectrum of personal skills and experiences as you can, so that whatever your passion is, if you're an artist, if you're a pianist, if you're a singer, if you have some kind of arts background, or if you're a good storyteller, or if you're an exercise expert, whatever that thing is that may not be related to your topic directly, but which gives you enthusiasm and energy, develop that, and you will find ways to make those connections, and your analogies and your metaphors will resonate with the audience because it's coming from a genuine place in you as a person. And my advice, and this is advice I give to everyone, whether it's magicians or people who do training or sales presentations or if they're students, is to get some experience in a theater. I think some time on stage as an actor is a benefit for everyone. Everyone should have that experience. But beyond that, it's to develop a broad range of interests and skills, because that gives you a broader vocabulary to draw from when you're creating metaphors.
You know, I have to agree with you. In fact, I've heard many authors speak, and many of them, if not all of them, always recommend reading everything. Not only, I mean, I tend to listen to science fiction authors because that's what I'm into, but even they say read outside of science fiction. Read drama, read mysteries, read whatever, read nonfiction, because everything you read not only gives you more examples of how to write, but it broadens your knowledge base overall.
Right. And beyond the reading, I think reading is important. I'm sitting in my library right now. I've got about 2,500 volumes on various kinds of illusions, from coins and cards all the way up to full-scale stage illusions. But beyond that, I've got philosophy, and I've got religion, I've got pop fiction, I've got classics. I'm just looking around. I recommend to people not just to read a variety of information. I think that the reading should be something old in addition to something new. For every new book that you read, try to read an old one too.
Oh, definitely.
So that you aren't all focused on just one narrow aspect. There's something to be said for the idea of specialization. I'm not contradicting that. But if you're going to be prepared to address a variety of topics in front of an audience, there's no substitute for having as rich a vocabulary of experiences as possible to deliver those messages. And so in addition to the reading, take it and put it on its feet by doing unusual things with your
life. Yeah, definitely. The breadth of experience you have informs everything you do.
Yep. So that's my advice. And so if you do that, then you're going to find your brain automatically makes those connections as you encounter new material. You have a different vocabulary of thought to analyze that information, and that's just going to enrich the way that you communicate that to other people.
Not only that, but in public speaking, some advice that I often have been hearing over and over as I interview public speakers is that don't use other people's stories. Tell stories from your own life. Well, the only way you're going to have stories from your own life is if you've gone out and lived.
That's well put. There's classic stories and there's funny stories and there's jokes, but the ones that people remember are the ones that, as I said before, it comes from a genuine place in your life and your experience. And people would rather hear about your trip to the grocery store and how you decided which gallon of milk to pick up. If it's real and relevant, you found that connection to your point, then they would hear about somebody else who jumped out of an airplane. I mean, it doesn't
right.
have to be this giant dramatic story. It can be a really important bit of information and a really meaningful connection, even if it seems practically trivial outside the context of the presentation. But within the presentation, because it helps you communicate that point and it is a genuine experience that you had, people can tell a phony. And when it's real for you, it's real for them.
And not only that, if someone's heard enough speakers, they're going to get tired of hearing the same story come out of 10 different mouths.
Right. That's the other thing, is if you're always telling what happened to you, you don't have to fake it. You don't have to remember. Like being an actor as well. If your emotions are coming from real places in you, it's going to come across as genuine to the audience, even when you're speaking other people's words. Something strange that happened when you dumped your garbage out or when you got in the car and the gas was almost gone, whatever it is, I mean, there's not pages enough in a book to tell every single detail of what it's like to run out of gas on a highway. Right?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a strange little experience, but you could drain that for hours to soak out every detail. And so if you can find a way to tie that to a contextual point in your presentation, then there's no reason that that story can't be just as rich and detailed and
engaging.
Have people hanging on it, you know, because it's germane to what you're speaking about and it's genuine from your experience.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Joe, for sharing your unique insights with us today.
Well, thanks, Karma, for the opportunity to speak with you. And I look forward to working with you again in the future.
Very good. This is the end of today's episode of Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence, signing off.
Because this was recorded a few years back, I've cut the speaker's contact information from the recording because it may have been out of date. If you would like to learn more about today's speaker, go to publicspeakingsuperpowers.com/featured speakers and click on his picture. I'm working to keep the information there as fresh as possible.